standard in the information age, but facts are in short supply. Reject the noise, ask bold questions, and pursue the truth with FBI whistleblowers and founding suspendables Garrett O'Boyle and Steve Friend. This is the American Radicals Podcast.
It is the American Radicals Podcast on a Tuesday morning, 8:30 on the Eastern Seaboard here. We are live and lively on Rumble, rumble.com/AmRadPod. If you are with us, make sure that you smash the like button, follow the program. If you want to subscribe, you have to make sure you do that from a PC or a Mac. The app is not cooperating, but if you want to do that, that's fantastic. If you listen to the audio format of the podcast, make sure that you do subscribe on iTunes and Spotify and iHeart, all those, so that you get the updates to the program, which we give to you every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So it's a brand new week, the final day of April. Man, I'm telling you, 2024 is flying by, which, I don't know, for the amount of attention that the election's getting, and I'm firmly in the sweet meteor of death camp, SMOD 2024. I'm kind of glad 2024 is speeding along. We'll see if my fellow co-host, compatriot, partner in crime at GOB Actual shares my sentiments when we bring him on. Sir, how are you on the final day of April?
I'm all in for SMOD as well. Let's go. Let's get this show on the road. Let's get it over with. And head into whatever the future of America beholds. I don't think it's anything good, at least in the short term.
Well, I think that one of the problems is that something we're going to address today, which is a failure of priorities. And I think that we are putting the lowest priority things first, the highest priority things last, or even just putting things that aren't important at all on our radar screen. And as a result of that, everything is just confused mess, and we are just lost in the wilderness. We are looking for some semblance of leadership, some semblance of sanity, and this just unfortunately seems to be unavailable. The thing that prompted me to actually want to talk about this today with this brand new week was this story that didn't get any attention, and I thought it was really necessary for you and me specifically to talk about, was because in light of all the drama that occurred at the end of last week for the suspendables, where we're apparently all now we're back to working for the federal government. How's that Fed paycheck, Garrett? Is it just as sweet as you remember?
You know, since I'm technically still employed, so maybe not as conspiratorial as the hacks out there would like to claim and think, like, oh, they're getting paid by the Secret Service or the CIA now. But since I am technically still an employee, I can still log in and check my pay stub. And so I did that because I was like, you know, maybe I am still getting paid and I just haven't noticed for the last 18 months or whatever. So I logged in. And I checked, and sure enough, every single pay stub, 0000000000. I could keep going because there's many, many more zeros for all of the bi-weekly paychecks we're supposed to get. But I was pretty sure I was right before I logged in and checked. And then I did. And I was like, oh, yeah, OK, still not getting paid. Actually, if they would have done their homework, they would have realized I have had to pay them far more in the last year and a half or so than they have had to pay me. But, you know, why would internet trolls bother with doing that?
Maybe homework? You're just a really good patriotic guy who likes to pay the government for keeping him on the shelf, Garrett. I mean, this is everything you're proposing is clearly a Fed op. This is all,
you know, clearly just, obviously,
smoke and mirrors. But what I want to talk about to you today on the American Radicals podcast was this story that was shared with me. I didn't see anywhere. It was actually a New York Times story, so obviously no one saw it. it was reflecting back to us a real question that we were talking about on Saturday's episode about what are we conserving? What are conservative principles? What is important to us? Protecting the most vulnerable. This story really puts you to the test for what is important and what is the right thing to do at the right time, in the right way, and for the right reasons. So without further ado, let me share this story with you, which is a blast from the past, the not too distant past. Ex-FBI lawyer who criticized Trump says Bureau failed to warn her about stalker. Man, Lisa Page, that's a blast from the past, that name.
That sure is.
But
was the stalker Peter Strzok by chance?
It's not. I definitely
or her ex-husband?
I'm telling you, it involves her kid, which I was kind of scratching my head about. Like, she got to keep the kid. Okay. All right.
Interesting.
But I want to read, so this is a pretty long story about her ordeal, and there's no love lost here. I don't think Lisa Page probably would like you or me very much, Garrett. I don't think we would agree on too many things, but I do think it's worth talking about the fact that regardless of that, she is a innocent woman in this regard and deserves some sort of protection that she didn't get. And this ties into the military, which will be interesting for your perspective. Now, there's a whole lot here, but I want to start reading here. John C. Perez, age 32, is an ex-Marine who lives in California. He pled guilty on Thursday to a misdemeanor stalking charge as part of a plea deal that bars him from visiting Washington, D.C. for the next 6 months and requires him to attend a half dozen therapy sessions. In mid-December, so about 5 months ago, Mr. Perez showed up at least four times at Ms. Page's house in Washington, making a bizarre claim that she had been witness to his childhood sexual abuse, even though the two had never met. During one visit, he actually interacted with Lisa Page's 11-year-old son. The FBI knew about his fixation on me since September, and they said nothing, Ms. Page said. 3 months later, he was at my doorstep. Pause it there. It's pretty disturbing, Garrett, that they would know about this for that extended period of time. And I have some receipts on how they would have known about it, but just your initial reactions about this, another failure from America's premier law enforcement agency. And they are just going to try to, I don't know, brush this under the rug or do something. I don't know what their obligation was. If they were doing a full investigation, they were definitely a required reporter. They should
yes.
have been referring that over to the DC Metro at least.
Yeah. At a minimum. So, because we were former FBI agents, maybe some of you still think we are current, but the FBI has a policy about a duty to warn. And when you have a reasonable belief that something like this is occurring, because look, let's be clear about it. If someone is off their rocker enough to be stalking another person, you immediately, just about every time, have a reasonable belief that some harm could befall the person that's being stalked, right? So in the FBI, there is a policy called a duty to warn. I know this because I've had to employ it myself. And actually, in my case, we kind of had a carve out, which you're going to love this, Steve, because of the incompetence and the hubris in the FBI that we often talk about, which in this case with Lisa Page, who knows what it was? Both, neither. They wanted to brush it under the rug and get the stalker before, you know, who knows? Who knows some of those other details? But in my case, there was, this is why it was problematic, because there was a threat to a retired abortion doctor who lived in Wichita. But with a duty to warn in the FBI, if you do the duty to warn, if that duty to warn would result in the death or harm of another person, then you don't have to do the duty to warn. And even though I'd only been on the job for a few months, I was like, if we do this duty to warn, it's going to come back on our source, because that's like the only person in this scenario that would know. And so then our source is probably going to, if this is legitimate, then our source is probably going to get harmed or killed, because our source was in a prison dealing with one of the primary subjects. So not a lot of people knew what was going on here. And so we do the duty to warn, because our bosses are like, you got to do the duty to warn. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And they called us out like late, like at 9 o'clock on an evening. And we go to this lady's house and we knock on the door. She doesn't come to the door. I end up calling her. She answers the phone. She doesn't believe I'm an FBI agent. Go figure. Because we got people today saying, Fed. And then this lady, when I was a Fed, wouldn't believe me. So then I call her the next day to try to set up a daytime meeting. And she still doesn't believe I'm a Fed. And she reports me to the FBI. And then I get a call from headquarters and an email, and I was like, yeah, that was me doing my duty to warn. And then like during that week is when I the new guy found the policy that said we actually didn't have to do the, you know, everything worked out fine, whatever. Long story to say, for Lisa Page, they had a duty to warn her because she's a potential victim, and they didn't, and now they're putting it in the New York Times to try to brush it under the rug and act like it's not a big deal. And the other thing I actually wondered was Alan Feuer, our friend, was he the one who wrote that article by chance?
I'll have to look at that. At least pull it back up. That's a good question because he is your friend and mine, right? Mm-hmm. So if I scroll through it, the byline, it's Glenn Thrush and Adam Goldman. So Alan Feuer did not cover it.
Close enough.
But really the obligation to report, you know, this guy's from California. She lives in Washington, D.C. There has to be a reasonable concern, right? He could just be a nutball and there's threats made on the internet all the time. You know, why would the FBI in this case be liable? Is because she's actually suing. Miss Page is suing the Bureau and the Justice Department over this. This guy was an ex-Marine. The Marines discharged this Mr. Perez in May 2023 after he made a series of bizarre statements involving Miss Page. And upon examination, they're found to be a symptom of a serious delusional disorder. He was barred from Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, where he had been stationed after military investigators flagged his, quote, erratic behavior and desire to obtain weapons and, quote, obsession with mass shootings, a fixation on child sex abuse, and the possibility he might engage in workplace violence. The Marines passed the information along to the FBI around that time, which would have been September of last year. And during an interview with agents, Mr. Perez repeated his delusional claims, according to the affidavit. So they knew about it. They had the reporting authority wasn't just a call into NTOC or from an anonymous person. This was the United States Marine Corps that had done an investigation and discharged him, it looks like, because of that. He had all his privileges revoked from North Carolina. And he might be from California. Maybe he was actually in North Carolina, which is a hop, skip, and a jump from Washington, D.C. It's a day trip. You make that drive up there. And they still did not give her any sort of heads up about it, which is a problem. I think my mind went to the fact that there was that DOJ settlement last week over the Larry Nassar. It was about $135 million they settled with all those former U.S. gymnasts, and they're probably all going to get about $1 million. That's how many girls that he abused. Do you think when you prorate it, because I contend the DOJ will settle with Lisa Page. She was a good German, right? She was a good, faithful servant to what they needed done, wanted the right things. They feel really bad. I think prorated, she'll probably get more than the Larry Nassar victims.
Yeah, if they're all only going to get $1 million. Dude, it's, well, one, that is so messed up. Dude, think of that. Okay, Larry Nassar. I mean, this is years in the making now. Nothing anybody can do can ever rectify the evils that he did. And yeah, you're probably right, because Lisa Page is the only victim here. Dude, okay, man, this is so frustrating. Like, the FBI is not sending you their best people. Like, I know if you're listening to this show or watching, like, you probably already know that. But it's so disappointing, because we've been fed this lie for so long that the FBI is this pinnacle of fidelity, bravery, and integrity. And those things are actually so freaking rare. You should all be disgusted at how pathetic your FBI is. And was it always this way? I don't know. I mean, looking through the history of the FBI, it's always been corrupt, at least to some degree, and doing things wrong, at least to some degree. I mean, go back to near the very beginning with the Red Raids and just snatching people up and deporting them because, well, we don't like them because they're communists. I mean, I don't like communists either. But guess what? In America, you get to be a communist. Doesn't mean you snatch them up and send them off. And now fast forward to today. You get gymnasts being essentially raped by an older man, and then years dragging it out in the courts because of FBI failures when they could have intervened. And now, you know, to a lesser degree, I would say, still not right, Lisa Page here with this story being stalked. And so they're just going to pay him money, because what else are you going to do? And man, it's just so frustrating, because people who get in the FBI, who become FBI agents, like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Where are your priorities?
Yeah.
And that's not, you actually went above and beyond when you talked about your duty to report to that abortionist. I mean, you went out there in the middle of the night. You tried to make contact with her the next day. You were following through because your priority was protecting life, even if it was a life who was taking other lives. Right.
Right.
And that was your job. That was your priority at that given moment. Now, I know FBI agents have, I mean, they're the most premier law enforcement agency, right? So they all have 100 cases that they're working and they're chasing down guys in the back alleys and they're arresting them every single day. That's what they do. Except on average, every FBI agent has one arrest a year.
Right.
Most of them never put handcuffs anyone in their entire career, never go to court, never actually testify. But let's leave that aside. What is the priority here? You can't pick up the phone. You can't send an email. I imagine that Lisa Page, being a former FBI employee, had to give some forwarding contact information.
Yeah.
They could have probably made that phone call. And then again, to the priority issue, why are we talking about this? Again, we probably have no love lost for Lisa Page
right.
as a person. She was engaging in some pretty abhorrent behavior when she worked for our ex-girlfriend. But that being said, we are going to stand on what is one of our prime directives is that we protect vulnerable people, no matter who they vote for, what their preferred policy outcomes are. I don't know her marital status, but you know, she could be single, she could be married, doesn't matter to me. She's a mom, she's a woman, and there's a guy who's been trained to use violence, who's obsessing over her and wants to go and make contact with her to the point where the United States Marine Corps said, you can't work here anymore because yeah. you're so disturbed.
Right.
We're going to step up and at least speak out that she should have been protected. And this isn't one of these, well, you get what you deserve, you vile, vicious, communist woman.
Exactly. Yeah. And that... It seems more and more like people don't understand that it seems to be a theme for us lately. You do what's right, regardless. If somebody else is going to do what's wrong, okay, that's between them and God. That's between them and whoever they are wronging. That doesn't mean you get a free pass to advocate for that wrong or approve of that wrong. Or join in on that wrong, or do some type of wrong in return. And I would say it'll bring us here to Psalm 82 for today. And the heading is Rescue the Weak and Needy. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Honestly, it's verse four, rescue the weak. Well, it's all of it, but rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. It doesn't say if you agree with their politics, rescue them. It doesn't say if you like them, rescue them. It says rescue them, rescue the needy and the weak. Well, as men, as FBI, as someone who may be sure, you know, if it's a child, moms, teachers, whatever, that most of us know someone who is more needy, weaker than we are, and we have an obligation to rescue them from the wicked. There's a lot of wickedness around us. And just because Lisa Page is wicked for trying to subvert, well, she did. I mean, she definitely played a role in subverting someone who was eventually elected president, and then while sitting president, continued to engage in that type of activity. That's wicked itself. Guess what, everybody? I'm wicked from time to time because I have my own sin nature that I have to deal with. And so I do things that are wrong too. That doesn't mean we just, I don't like her. So let her be stalked and maybe murdered. And I actually kind of wish she was because, you know, I like Donald Trump or whatever. Because I'm sure there are people out there who think that way.
And one administrative note, she lives in Washington, D.C. So what kind of self-defense do you think she has seeing how she can't own a firearm inside city limits? So let's actually look at what the priorities are, because clearly it's not protecting one of their good and faithful good Germans who's now moved on to private industry, probably making way more than she was as a government or FBI lawyer. They're not interested in protecting her, or at least warning her, giving her any sort of advance notice of threats to her life. What could be the actual priorities of the U.S. government? And I don't know. I'm a little bit troubled by where they're at. We'll get to those in a second, but make sure we're going to thank the show sponsor, which is True Earth Pharmacy. Go to trueearth.co. You don't need the M. It's trueearth.co. And you can visit their site and use the promo code AMRAD24 because we are trying to get healthy in 2024. And the True Earth Pharmacy only sponsors the American Radical Podcast. So the promo code is AMRAD24 and you get 10% off store-wide. That includes all their fertilizer products as well as their supplements. I'm getting low on my turmeric trio. I'm going to have to hit them up. And if I do, I'm going to definitely use AMRAD24 to get 10% off store-wide. And I can feel the health results, make sure that I stay in the top-notch shape in 2024. So where are the actual priorities for the U.S. government? And I saw this, I saw a number of these, but this one was noteworthy to me. This was a convenience store chain. We don't have these in Florida, which is surprising because Florida has like everything because everybody's from everywhere else but Florida in Florida. It's called Sheetz. Garrett, I don't know if you've ever come across one of these, but convenience store chain with hundreds of outlets in six states hit with a discrimination lawsuit. And this is the Department of Justice going after this convenience store. So Sheetz Inc. operates about 700 stores discriminated against Black, Native Americans, and multiracial job seekers. Wow, that's pretty evil. How did they do that? Well, they automatically weeded out the applicants whom the company deemed to have failed a criminal background check, which was discriminatory. Per the Department of Justice, federal officials said that they do not allege Sheetz was motivated by any racial animus. So they didn't actually intend to be racist. But the federal officials take issue with the way that the chain uses the criminal background checks to screen out the job seekers. The company was sued under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Title VII is really important to them now. Title IX has been completely overturned. But Title VII, even though the FBI consistently goes to recruiting events and recruits specific people based on their genitalia and pigmentation, Title VII is what they're using. And this is from the EEOC attorney. Federal law, quote, federal law mandates that employment practices causing a disparate impact because of race or other protected classifications must be shown by the employer to be necessary to ensure the safe and efficient performance of the particular jobs at issue. Even when such necessity is proven, the practice remains unlawful if there is an alternative practice available that is comparably effective in achieving the employer's goals but causes less discriminatory effect. So even if it's really good for you to screen out people with criminal backgrounds because you don't want your employees to steal with you or, I don't know, rob you, if it ends results is disparate impact on people of different pigmentation, that apparently is violative of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act 1964, which is a very high priority for our federal government these days. Garrett, your thoughts.
So basically it boils down to this. Your government's wicked itself. So if we want to think about Psalm 82 still.
Wait, do the FBI have a duty to report to this EEOC attorney?
I mean,
there's a threat.
So think of the mental and verbal gymnastics here. You're a racist and your company is a racist, even though we don't think you had any racial animus here, but you're still a racist because you didn't hire these people, not because of their skin color, but because they're felons. But you're a racist and you can't do that. So you like what? So Sheetz, which I think that's, yeah, like mostly East Coast, right? Like Sheetz is an awesome gas station. It's like a compound, you know, like they got anything you could ever want or need in there. And so they're trying to, that's their brand, is to have a nice facility and to have, as part of that, quality employees. And typically speaking, and I know everybody makes mistakes, typically speaking, people with a criminal background aren't somebody you want to hire. And now it may depend on what the crime was. Like, hey, did you get arrested for like a municipal disorderly conduct because you were drunk one night? Okay. I mean, maybe you could look at what that criminal background is a little bit, but just based on my background and knowledge of like that whole system, a lot of these people probably have a lengthy rap sheet. And so they're applying at a gas station because it's hard to get a job and a good job, especially when you have a criminal background. And Sheets' policy is, well, we just don't hire that. We don't hire that type of person.
This is an EEOC attorney or team of attorneys, more likely, who's looking at like an actuarial table of the census and saying, well, this company right here, their racial makeup here is the most important thing here is not quality service. It's not the fact that, you know, the customer is always right. They're not trying to make a profit. That's evil. It should be just about creating jobs, but creating jobs for the people who we deem to be acceptable, not people who are the most qualified for it. And anytime quality and merit is secondary to anything else, by definition, you're not going to have a superior product. And as a result, you're going to suffer financially. You're going to suffer, you know, all your business. But then as a culture itself, I mean, that the priorities are in the wrong place. It's not in about getting the best experience when you go into a convenience store. And I know it's a convenience store. It's not a big deal. But this is indicative of the U.S. government is willing to go after this group. It'll be another one next week. And the week after that. And the week after that. This is a failure of priorities. This is them not actually looking at what is fair. And they're saying, well, we're going to equate the terms equity and equality because we want to get involved in every aspect of your life.
Right. So, and that's just it. You don't live in the land of the free. When your government is doing this type of thing to private business, when the private business has been doing it for its entire existence, or at least roughly by the sounds of it, this is a standard hiring practice. Shocker, not just for Sheets, for many, 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 many companies across this country, they have similar policies to this. And now you have the government stepping in and saying, you can't do that because we said so. And you live in the land of the free. Give me a break.
Well, I don't live in any of those six states, Garrett. So I'm good, right? Yeah. Like, well, I should be fine here in the People's Republic of Florida. Yeah. I'm a Floridian until I get to our next story, which is another failure of priorities. And this one comes from the Daily Wire, covers on the hiring practices still in the employment realm of the FAA. I pulled up the wrong story. This one is from Fox News. The FAA's diversity push includes focus on hiring people with, quote, severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. Uh-oh. You know, they're only in charge of keeping the airplanes on time and in the air, which last I checked do fly over my house on occasion. But according to this article from Fox News, they are targeting disabilities, and those disabilities the federal government has a matter of policy has identified for special emphasis in recruitment. They're actively recruiting people and hiring them with these particulars. Ready for these? They include hearing, vision. I don't know how you're looking at the radar, but hearing and vision, missing extremities, partial paralysis, complete paralysis, epilepsy, severe intellectual disability, psychiatric disability, and dwarfism. Wow. An epileptic seizure from looking at the blinking dots, or the guy who's blind and doesn't see them at all and those planes collide, I mean, at least they can pat themselves on the back and say that, you know, we had an equitable workforce.
My brain hurts, Steve.
Well, your brain hurts. So let's take you to the next article because you might need some psychiatric care. You're a vet, which is why I'm going to pull up the next article, Garrett. From the Daily Wire, the Biden administration wants more Black veterans declared mentally disabled.
Like what?
In the name of equity.
This is a
failure of priorities.
What the heck is going on?
All right. So this one, they did, you know, they tried to use the Sheets example, the EEOC, about the fact that they are scanning for criminal backgrounds. And as a result of that, the more that Black applicants or Latino applicants had a criminal background, and that's how they're weeding them out because they're evil, vile. But it's like only one level of analysis. Wait till you hear the multi levels of analysis they had to go through in order to come up with this conclusion. So a higher percentage of Black veterans currently receive disability compensation. So it's actually higher.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How about that?
Than white veterans. On average, Black veterans also apply for disability compensation a higher rate, though. And they receive slightly higher disability ratings from the VA than white veterans.
So their DEI policies are already in place.
However, Black veterans have lower grant rates than white veterans for mental health conditions, 70 to 76%. Okay. Because I guess they're finding that more of them are, I guess, not legitimate claims.
Okay, that could be part of it. And I will tell you this, based on my own experience, part of that, I bet you, has to do with the amount of Black people serving in combat arms. So it's far
interesting.
Lower.
Interesting. I didn't even think of that. That's a great point, Garrett. You elaborate on that and just your experience with being in the combat unit?
For sure. So I would say on average in my 6 years in the infantry, so like the combat unit, I know there are other combat arms, MOSs, military occupational specialties, but in the infantry, at least, where at least in our era, like you're pretty much sure to see some combat. There's about one Black guy per platoon, and an infantry platoon is anywhere from like 30 to 40 dudes. And so there's about, one or two maybe. And so it's a very low rate. Typically they pick a different job to do.
And as a result, they're not having the PTSD, you're saying.
Right. Right. And so a PTSD rating at the VA, I think, is like 70%. Like if you get rated for PTSD, you'll get I think it's 70%. Now there's a scale. So it depends on like what your symptoms are and stuff like that. But I think it's almost like a rubber stamp. You see combat, you go to the VA, or before you get out, you go and see some shrink and they diagnose you with PTSD, you're going to get rated for it. And so that's another part of this, I'm sure. But they're not looking at some of these other factors clearly.
No. And this is this final paragraph here kind of sums it up and explains it maybe a little bit better than I initially did. The justification uses a tortured logic in which, although there is a large discrepancy in Black's favor when it comes to actually being granted government disability checks, the Biden administration sliced the numbers until they found a secondary metric in which Blacks were slightly behind in the percentage who apply for disability but are deemed ineligible.
And yeah, so just fudge the numbers to get, gosh.
Priorities. This is a priority. And dagnabbit, we're going to have it according to our ruling elite, which is why we have, innocent women not getting warned about potential stalkers, and the airplanes are going to fall out of the sky because the guy who was supposed to tell it where to land had an epileptic seizure.
Yeah.
And I can't even get, my almond from the convenience store because that guy stole it because he's got a criminal rap sheet.
Like, think of this FAA one too, man. It's already like the Boeing whistleblower who killed himself after testifying.
Did he shoot himself in the back of the head twice?
Yeah.
Like a Clinton.
Right. Like there's already some not so good things coming out with the airline industry and all that. And now you want our traffic controllers to just have a seizure while they're trying to direct a couple planes in like. I have a hard time, maybe I'm being conspiratorial myself, but I have a hard time believing that this is anything but intentional just to lead us towards the cliff even more. I don't know. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, all right, bring it. As SMOD 2024, baby.
Well, I'm burned out. I think I've fired every bit of ammunition that I have on the government, which is why I kind of want to take it to the people are the problem. There's a priority issues. And I've got two stories that they're kind of connected together, which I know is going to be important to you, Garrett, to bring us in here as we're wrapping up down on the priority problem that we have, the failure of priorities that we have. So the first of the two is from Catholic Vote. And this is a story about Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood performed more abortions than ever last year. And they got another raise from the taxpayers. So there is a government element to it. So reading from the article, the organization's leaders bemoan that since the Roe decisions was overturned, quote, more than 20 states have banned some or all abortions. The report reveals the group received a hefty raise from the American taxpayers. Taxpayers' funding via government grants, contracts, and Medicaid reimbursements reached $699 million, as indicated in the most current report, up from $633 million in 2022, and the amount is a 34% of Planned Parenthood's overall revenue. Well, I want to throw a couple of couple of locations to you, Garrett. I know you were stationed in Wichita, so that's one of the locations here. But let me throw a couple more at you, okay? Wichita, Kansas. Tampa Bay, Florida. New Orleans, Louisiana. Cleveland, Ohio. Honolulu, Hawaii. Orlando, Florida. Cincinnati, Ohio. Newark, New Jersey. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. St. Louis, Missouri. Those are all fairly prominent cities. I mean, they're not Chicago or Los Angeles or New York, but you know them because they're fairly populated. Those cities are all under 392,715 people, which is the total number of abortions that were performed last year by Planned Parenthood.
Man, think of that, dude. Think of that. That's rough, man. That's rough. Because
imagine, like, just if we Thanos snapped and Tampa disappeared.
Right.
Orlando, like, hey, home of Mickey Mouse, right? Gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's how many people that one organization terminated last year.
Yeah. Like, that, it's still where you almost can't fathom it. You get a better idea thinking of it that way. Like, if Tampa just poof.
Yeah. If there was a nuke that went off in Cleveland, Ohio, I think it would have made the news.
Yeah. I think so. And think of this. You're funding your own demise. Like, you're funding this evil. And yeah, man, just lately, like in my own like private Bible study time, I've been, you won't be surprised by this, in the Old Testament a bit, and specifically in Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel. Because all three of them humbly went before the Lord and prayed on behalf of their nation and repented on behalf of their nation and said, I know that this is wrong. So even though they weren't even guilty themselves of the sins of Israel, they said, we, the sins of my nation, the sins of my fathers, the sins of my family even. We are guilty. And guess what, everybody? We are guilty. We are as guilty as any time judgment was tossed down from the heavens by God on a wicked nation. And we see it. We see some of the early stages of a nation that is under judgment. And we continue to fund our own demise. We continue to fund the evil. A gracious God, that grace will run out. As great and good and gracious as our God is, he's equally as just. And that should be frightening, because that justice will be poured out and it's not going to be good.
Well, it is on us, which will take us to the connecting story that I had, Garrett, which comes from Life News. America's fertility rate hits record low as Planned Parenthood abortions hit record high. According to newly released data from the CDC, which I don't know if I trust entirely after coronavirus, but we'll just take it for what it's worth. The CDC reports that the total fertility rate dropped to 1.62 births per woman last year, a 2% decline, which is well below. It's about a half percentage below what replacement rates are. That figure is below replacement rates, which means that Americans are not having enough children to replace people who are dying. Nations below replacement rates eventually experience massive social and economic problems, ranging from an inability to support elderly people to worker shortages to higher rates of prostitution and sex trafficking. Those are, I don't think they're causative, but they're correlative types of things that happen. But I also think that, I think Clay Travis put it really well. He said that having babies indicates optimism, right? And I think that, look, people are having babies when the Nazis were occupying. So it's not, again, a one-to-one sort of comparison. I think there is an optimism aspect to it. But I think one thing that he might have discounted is the fact that so many young people who are in the breeding age range have been just indoctrinated to thinking that, well, unless I cut off my genitals, I'm not virtuous. Or if I don't do that, then I better not have kids, because then, you know, the sun god will get angry at me and heat up the temperature a couple of degrees. Or I can't be a dink, which is a dual income, no kids, D-I-N-K. And they can't wait to tell you how great their lives are, because they get to sleep into 8:30 and then lay in bed for an hour and just sounds completely unproductive.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a meme this morning where it was, you know, like the angry liberal face, and it was the happy couple that had the baby, and the angry liberal was screaming at them like, "You're not going to have any time for yourselves now." And then they had another kid in the next frame, and it was like, you know, "You're taking up all the resources on earth." And then the last one was them having like a third kid, and the guy was screaming at them like, "Stop being happy."
I love it. It's yeah, that's funny, because like in our circles, you know, it's like, it's such a joy. It's the best thing ever, you know, like to have kids. It changes your life. It changes the meaning of your life. And yeah, it's a burden, because it's like, I got to teach and train this child. I don't have it pulled up, but there's a verse in Proverbs or Psalm. It says in Psalms, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will never depart from it. And
super frustrating at times, no question about it. But I always take stock, and I like to say that the kids see the telephone wires. And what I mean by that is, like, you drive down the road every single day, you don't see the electrical wires anymore. They're just into the backdrop, right? You're not even paying attention to them.
Right.
And the kids have not lived enough days, actually, for that to have happened to them yet. So they're everything is new and amazing, and they point things out, and they will inevitably every day say something you're just like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that." Last night, the Good Humor Man rolled through our neighborhood. This was a concept that they had never experienced in their lives. I heard the Pop Goes the Weasel song, and I was like, ice cream truck's coming. And I was like, "Guys, let's go outside." And they're like, "Why?" They're like, "What is that sound?" I'm like, wait for it. And then this truck comes around the corner, and they were just blown away, and they were so excited to have a bomb pop, which we had a whole box in my freezer for.
But getting it that way. Dude, that's so awesome. I love that, because I only recall doing that one time with my kids, but they knew. They, like, I don't know, maybe that was I wasn't around, or they were with grandma and grandpa. I don't know. They knew, because they heard the jingle, and they were like, "The ice cream truck." And I was in the kitchen. This was like at the end of the summer last year, and I'm like prepping dinner, and I was like, "Go." And they were like, they looked at me and they were like, "What?" And I was like, go catch it, and I'll try to grab some cash, and I'll meet you out there." And like, I did, and I ran out there, and like, overjoyed for that, you know. And it's like, it's so awesome. Like, I'll remember that. I bet they still do. And a couple bucks, and it's, you know, it just like filled them with, like, they got to pick their own, you know, they all got something different.
Oh yeah. That, I mean, that's like a Cheesecake Factory menu on that side of that truck, man. That was crazy.
Yeah.
So, but I mean,
like, how do you store all that in there? That's a small truck.
Unfortunately, Bidenflation has hit the Good Humor Man. It was like $5 for a bomb pop, but you know, it made them smile, and it was slightly larger than normal size bomb pop. So they were like blown away. Like, "This is the length of a sword. This is crazy."
It's melting.
Yeah. I was like, "Get inside. We're in Florida."
Yeah, we can't eat it out here.
All right. I've got one more story, and then we have a palate cleanse as we're winding down here on the American Radicals podcast. Covered on some heavy stuff. This one is I think equally as heavy, but it's also shows some more absurdity, not within the government, but within a quote unquote respected brand. And it hits close to home for Garrett and me, being former guys who wore the uniform in as police officers. So this one comes from the American Sociological Association. I don't know. I guess it's some preeminent organization, but white police membership in Republican Party associated with racial bias. Study finds. I'll skip reading all the scientific language, which is arguable whether or not scientific, but it is very disturbing that these people are considered to have any sort of credibility. And especially when you actually take the time to read these, and this is like a press release from the FBI, they're hoping you don't read three or four paragraphs in where they completely contradict everything that the title says. But this says that while both white and Republican and white Democrat police officers grew more biased between 2012 and 2020, a period characterized by the rise of BLM and the election of Donald Trump, the author suggests that this increase in the black-white disparity among white officers is due to a change in the behavior of the same white officers. So you're just racist. That's the takeaway.
Yeah. Hate yourself. Hate yourself.
That's the priority. Not catching criminals, mm-hmm. not, you know, could have been riding a beat like I did, where I was the only white face white that guy. Anybody yeah. would see. And if I ever ran for political office, I would be raked over the coals, because they'd be like, you're a straight racist. The only people mm-hmm. you ever arrested were either African American or Native American. Yeah. What's your problem?
Like, well, look at where I worked. But oh, I'm the bad guy. Okay. Fair enough. So, and, I've talked about this before. It's everybody has bias. We all do, based on our background, or even to some degree, our genetics, our experiences, the way we've grown and learned to think about the world and what we believe. And I've always said, I used to talk about it at the PD with other cops. You have to have it right here in the front of your mind that I have bias. Sometimes I can't see it because it's my bias. And I just think it's normal. I think it's right. I think it's correct. That's why I have to critically think even more. I have to dedicate even more to my craft to ensure that I do it right, or as close to right as I'll get. We're not perfect. Law enforcement officers are not perfect. They're never going to be. But if you know that I have that bias and you go into your job recognizing that I'm fallible, and I need to work extra diligently at treating everybody the same, you will. You're going to treat them the same, or at least closer to the same. And yeah, these studies, man, quote unquote studies, they don't account for so much. But hey, you're a racist. You're a racist to just shut up, you stupid white Republican. And I can't wait to get you out of law enforcement. And it's like, okay, all right, fine.
I mean, you're clearly a racist to not warn Lisa Page about her stalker.
Yeah, right, right. You're sexist and racist.
All right. So we have a palate cleanse for the show today. But before we do that, we want to make sure everybody is reminded to go to the O'Boyle Family Sweatshop merch store, the-suspendables.com. Garrett, you said you've been dug out, got a consistent flow of traffic going to the store right now.
Yes, sir. Even this morning already, I was actually prepping recent orders. So some of you will be happy, because if you've ordered like in the last week, you'll get it. And then some of you who've ordered like in the last two or three, you'll be like, oh, finally. But that's just kind of the way of the flow right now. I wait till there's like a decent sized batch, and then I do them all over the course of a couple days. But keep them coming. It's a good steady pace. We were getting probably at least an order a day. And once we get anywhere from, 15 to 25 or so, we work on them and send them out. And yeah, keep them coming, people.
All right. Well, heavy topics today on priorities, which is why I wanted to have a great palate cleanse for you. Get to smile on your face, Garrett, and the American Radical Podcast Nation's faces. We're going to go to our favorite law enforcement team, episode 4 of the Crime yes. Squad. There's tremendous bias amongst the Crime Squad. There's tremendous priorities issues. The priorities are, we're from the government and we're here to blast you in the face.
They even each other out, at least.
They really do. We'll give it a play here.
Nice day, huh?
Yeah.
Say it's gonna rain later.
Yeah, who said that?
The National Weather Service?
Get it.
It's a federal crime to issue a counterfeit weather forecast claiming it was issued by the National Weather Service.
Got it.
Yeah!
And it's legal to drive on the beach here.
Sir, just let us do our job. You find anything?
Nothing!
Nothing?
Not even in the glove compartment.
Get it.
It's a federal crime to drive on the beach at Cape Cod National Seashore without a tire pressure gauge in your car.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nice day.
Careful. There's a cop watching you.
Yeah, what's new?
Get him.
It's a federal crime to take furniture from the U.S. Mint.
Got it.
Boss. Boss.
What?
Wrong guy.
God. Oh, please help me.
Fuck me. God.
You broke my arm. I'm gonna sue you for everything you've got.
Case dismissed.
What?
Qualified immunity. It's not for you, it's just for me. I shot your dog.
I shot your wife.
I get to go on with my life. It's not that you don't have some rights, but when we get you in our sights, we can't be sued.
You've got no case.
It's time for you to learn your place. Qualified immunity. It strips all liability.
I stole your cash.
I broke your jaw.
Look it up, it's settled law. Qualified immunity. We get off without penalty.
I broke down your front door while serving a search warrant on the wrong house at 3 a.m. and then I shot you in the face. Twice.
Oh dear.
Okay, see you later.
Yeah.
But...
that's the crime squad.
Oh,
see, the government loves to just shoot you in the face. That's where their biases are. They're always good to send you out with a nice laugh. I lose it whenever the National Weather Service one came up. But those are all still in the books. Those are federal laws that Reason TV points out. They have a couple more episodes. We'll have to drop those in here as we.
They're so good. Yeah. They're so good. I mean, dude, that qualified immunity song.
Well, it's
we
relevant.
Could do a whole show on that.
We might have to. It's relevant now, especially in Supreme Court. They're looking at that.
Yeah,
that's a discussion for a different American Radicals podcast episode. We're going to close it out here today. We'll be back with you on Thursday, 8:30 Eastern time. If you're in the live chat, I will raid you over to the Kyle Serafin show, and you can tell all those deadbeats over there that they need to come on ours first. Because
we get
growing.
Done on time, you know, we get done before a show start. We'll send them over. It's pretty easy, simple math over here.
All right, guys. Have a great day. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to the voice of the Suspendables on the American Radicals podcast. Follow us on rumble.com/amradpod.